We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Tom Testel and Morris at 815-941-2184. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for March 24, 2010. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis with the folks at the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, climate change legislation is slowly inching forward. We'll have this and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason reports on the multiple fieldwork issues producers faced this spring. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from the Westchester Group, specializing in land auctions for farmland, timberland, and recreational land. More information on upcoming auctions is available online at westchester-auctions.com.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this. In Kansas City, May wheat, 485 and a quarter up a quarter. July, 496 and a quarter up a half. September, 507 and three quarters unchanged. May wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 476, down three quarters. July, 488 and three quarters, down a half. May corn, 365, up two and a quarter. July, 376, up two and a quarter. September, 385, up two and a quarter. December, 394, up one and three quarters. May soybeans, 960, down eight. July, 967 and a half, down eight. August, 961 and a half, down nine. September, 941 and three quarters, down nine and a half. November, 927 and a quarter, down eight and three quarters. May soybean meal, 270.90, down a dollar. July soybean meal, 268.30, down 210. May soybean oil, 39.08, down 46. July, 39.50, down 45. April live cattle, 95.72 and a half, up two and a half. June, 92.87 and a half, up 50. March feeders, 106.10, up 72 and a half. April lean hogs at 71.12 and a half, and they were down 80 on the day. And May bellies, 96.70, up 55. And those are Wednesday afternoon's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Looking at Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser's two-state forecast, he says tonight in western Illinois, cloudy with rain. Elsewhere, cloudy with rain arriving from west to east overnight, lows ranging from 36 in far northern Illinois to 50 in the far south. Tomorrow in the north, cloudy with scattered showers. Elsewhere, cloudy with rain heavy at times, highs ranging from 45 in northern Illinois to 62 in the far south. Here's Ed's extended two-state highlights. He says rainfall will be heaviest in southern portions of Illinois and Indiana, where 3/4 inch to 1 1/4 inch is likely. Rainfall will be lighter farther north. Unseasonably cool weather is expected Thursday and Friday, with a rebound in temperature on Saturday. Dry weather is expected Friday and Saturday. Another round of showers is possible on Sunday, once again primarily for southern areas of Illinois and Indiana. And mostly dry weather is expected next week. We would like to thank these sponsors who help support the recent WILL 20th Annual All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting and all of our agricultural programs on air and online. Strategic Farm Marketing, Stuart Peterson, ADM Risk Management Commodities, and Pioneer. Thank you. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave, on this beautiful, almost spring-like day in East Central Illinois.
It has folks dreaming about planting, I imagine.
Well, we have reports that there's some anhydrous ammonia going on, and I'm sure there's places in Iowa and Illinois where tractors are starting to pop up.
Speaking of planting, a couple of reports out today. Allendale released their estimates for prospective planting acres for corn. They came in at 90.152, and within an hour or two of that, we had the Farm Futures Magazine estimate for their survey of folk, and they're at 87.30. These estimates are still all over the map.
And another one that we understand, AgWeb came in, and they think that people will plant more corn and more soybeans, of course, than a year ago. And my general impression is that ADM Investor Services is talking about 89.5 million acres, 78 million acres of soybeans, and one thing that I don't think we have to worry about is I think the spring is going to allow planting, and also it's still profitable to raise corn and soybeans. And I think the insurance program will also encourage people to plant fence row to fence row, or at least from road to road anyway.
So in my mindset, this sets up potentially a very volatile Wednesday a week from today.
I think it's going to be an eye-opener, either bullish or bearish. The big factor here, of course, is the stocks. There will be some interesting plays in the old crop beans, how they played that, whether they took too many beans off the table in December. The general impression on my side is I think they'll have the crop was probably larger, and that'll show up even on the bean report. The million-dollar question, though, is this volatility creates a selling opportunities both in corn and soybeans. The general thing I see is that there's a lot of volume of corn still being moved into the marketplace, and quality, and let's get it moved before spring planting.
When we look at the corn charts and the action today, we made new lows for the move, but we came back from them and actually got above a little bit of a trend line drawn off of the February and March lows.
Well, it's a guessing game in the corn complex, and all I can say is the computer trend is down in my book. The market did see a lot of just give up. The dollar was one factor. This better weather is another factor. Lower energy prices are another factor. And it all added up that we did see corn trade. The factor that we have to really play here is will there be enough of an advantage to plant corn? Or will there be wholesale leaving the cornfields and going to more soybeans? And my general opinion is that there'll be a lot of corn going in the ground at some point in time, and anybody that plays that other card is going to have to wait a long time to get their money back.
You did reference the dollar, and boy, did it take off today. It's been trading essentially in a sideways range for the better part of a month, but it spiked higher today, and it is at the top of its range trading right now.
Economic firm Finch lowered the credit rating to Portugal, and of course it's just like a domino effect of the EU. Germany doesn't want to take the leadership in that basically being the premier financial stability in Europe. We also know that Britain seems to be having some troubles as well. Around the world, there's other economic troubles. You know, Japan's also having some troubles with their Toyota automobile. That's not good for car sales from that country. So there's a lot of major problems. And, of course, Senator Schumer from New York is trying to introduce legislation to make the dollar, or at least the Chinese currency, more competitive in fair trading with the U.S. And all these things have a tendency to probably make the dollar a little more valuable. Unfortunately, that hurts our exports and quick turnaround. But I think that's probably more of a trend than a weak dollar at this time.
While soybeans struggled on the day, I mean, corn came back, but the soybeans struggled.
We understand Uruguay and Paraguay had a pretty big rain down there. The Argentine farmer is selling soybeans. The early indications are that it's a bin-buster crop in Argentina, both on corn and soybeans. It wouldn't surprise the trade to see a million push up higher than what the USDA has their numbers down. The Brazilians have a big bin-buster crop. 70% harvested. They've only sold 35% of their crop. Any way you play the card, there's a lot of soybeans to go into the world market. A lot of companies in the past, I can just go down the net road, Continental, Cargill, Dreyfus, Cook Industries, tried to outguess the old crop carryover in soybeans. And it is going to be a tough market to play anytime you get down in these modern times of 150, 160 million carryover. It's going to be a guessing game, but I'll still take my 10 to 10.50 soybean sales, $10 new crop soybean sales. I think those are home runs today.
So in all of our discussion today, we are definitely looking at bearish factors throughout that. The question that at the end of the day that we're asking, okay, there's bearish questions now, perhaps more bearish questions on the immediate horizon. So how far and how fast become the key issues?
Well, I think it's going to be more of a painful erosion more than the sudden drops in here. And, of course, the government, I think, is painted in the corner. They're going to have to make some tough decisions on acreage and the stocks numbers. Because there is a big supply of commodities in the world, and feed grains and oil seeds, and that makes the job of kind of skewing something to get an acre here, an acre there, a little harder to do. But all indications are that there's price pressure on the horizon in all major pits.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
You too. That's Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, and he is in Oakland, Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, senators negotiating a bill to address global warming fears and encourage the use of more alternative energy in the U.S. struggled over details yesterday. Senate sources also say that an outline of a climate bill will not be publicly released this week, although details have leaked out. The bill would commit the U.S. to a 17% reduction in carbon pollution by 2020 from 2005 levels. Under the bill, beginning in 2012, utilities would be placed under a cap-and-trade program for reducing emissions. House Ways and Means Chairman Senator Levin says that China needs to shift from its longtime strategy of deliberately undervaluing its currency to fuel its exports and overall economy. Representative Dave Camp, the top Republican on the panel, also expressed concerns about China's exchange rate, but says that the U.S. should not obsess over the yuan to the exclusion of other important trade issues. Camp urged the Obama administration to establish a robust multilateral process to pressure China on the currency front. House Appropriations Chairman David Obey is said to be considering skipping a committee markup of a $5.6 billion supplemental spending bill and instead bringing the measure directly to the floor for a vote before the spring recess begins on Friday. The bill contains $5 billion in disaster aid that would be provided on an emergency basis, meaning it would not need an offset, although it would count against the federal budget deficit. New Zealand Prime Minister John Key has taken issue with a letter that several U.S. senators recently sent to U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk, calling on him to exclude dairy from trade talks getting underway with New Zealand, Singapore, Australia, Chile, Brunei, Vietnam, and Peru. Key says, quote, "We want a high-quality agreement, so coming away with an agreement that, for instance, carved out agriculture is unacceptable to New Zealand." He labeled the stance by senators as an extreme position. Emerging Energy Research says that the number of wind power projects coming online in the U.S. is expected to decline this year, even with an influx of cash from the federal government as developers struggle to find buyers for the electricity. A big drop in power demand, expectations that wind turbine prices will fall further, and uncertainty over federal policy are making utilities hesitant to sign multi-year power purchase agreements to supply their customers. The amount of new wind power capacity coming online this year, largely spurred by federal grants, is projected to dip 18% to 8,000 megawatts before rebounding in 2011. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Farmers need to prioritize the problems in their fields this spring. Stalks, ruts, and compaction are among the problems. Todd Gleason has an order for that list.
First, we'll shorten the list. There is very little, if anything, to do about compaction this spring, says the Extension State Agronomist at the University of Illinois. Emerson Napsiger says not to worry too much about compaction and to deal with it in the fall. That leaves the heavy stalks, at least on corn after corn ground, and the ruts. The ruts are the priority, but it's likely both will be dealt with at the same time, says Napsiger.
The problem with doing, you know, getting out and doing the ruts first is that they're usually in the wettest part of the field. And so in many cases, if you have the right tillage tool that's working in the part of the field without ruts, it's probably the right one to fill in the ruts with as well. So, you know, these things are all going to have to be just a field-by-field decision, and that, you know, we're going to have to experiment till we find something that works.
That something that works is likely to be the same tool used to break up the corn stalks left from last season, but not a deep tillage tool. Napsiger doesn't think that the soils will dry out quickly enough to deep till this spring, so patience will be required.
The ruts are going to be there. Obviously, it's wet where those ruts are formed. They wouldn't have formed them as much otherwise. There's probably water standing in many of them. And so that, again, is going to be an exercise in patience. But we simply have to get that job done.
The rot says the first priority, filled in a way that evens the seedbed and doesn't leave gaps in the soil profile, and then dealing with the trash on top of the field.
And this is not all gloom and doom. I mean, we have forgiving soils in Illinois. We're going to ask for their forgiveness again this year. And we're going to probably plant into less than ideal conditions, which we've all done before. Our best hope is that we get a fairly nice dry stretch of weather here where we can get started in hopefully in early April or late March and then get this crop in before the end of May comes around like it did last year.
As for the right tool to use, well, Knapsiger says no deep till, maybe a soil finisher with some of the shanks taken off, possibly a disc, but mostly something that isn't very heavy. He says this will require farmers to be patient and experimental. If one tool doesn't work, quickly discard it and try something else. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Matt Kunisch of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon.
I want to begin on the corn side and ask you, is corn to your elevators beginning to pick up now that the temperatures are beginning to warm up?
We have been full for about the past 3 weeks here. Guys are moving. On the sales side, the sales have not been occurring as much with the board the way it's been in the past week. But movement has been very, very steady here. I look for that to drop off. Most guys in this area are pretty much ready to go, waiting for the 1st of April so they can get back in the fields and start planting.
Is anybody holding on to old crop beans still?
You know, we tried to shake some out this week, and it is very few and far between to find any.
So you had a premium for the old crop beans this week?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did, and it was very tough to find. Most guys did a good job selling it when they should have, it feels like most guys have already scraped the bottom of the bin and are done for the year.
Talk a little bit about your corn, the damage of the corn, the vomitoxin of the corn, the different things you're dealing with.
We still have vomitoxin coming, and there are areas to the north of us where vomitoxin is more prevalent. Fortunately for where we're sitting at, corn to the west between us and Champaign, relatively good corn, good quality that has been flowing our way. And our house average is actually pretty good, you know, compared to where it was in harvest. So levels have come down. We've been able to find good corn. Doesn't look like springtime, early summer, we will have to pay the premiums for VOMs that we were talking about a month ago. Damage, there are a lot of guys cracking open bins and finding damage. Just feels like they put it away a little too wet, maybe held it too long, didn't core it enough. So damage is on the upswing at one of our rail facilities. But for the most part, you know, we've been able to handle it right now. I think some of that corn coming in maybe late May, early June could be worse depending on what kind of moisture they put it away at. So
we got about 30, 40 seconds left. Give us your early take on what you expect for the quarterly grain stocks report a week from today.
Oh, what we are looking for quarterly, you know, right now for the report, I have personally not been friendly corn or beans. I've been reading a lot about the acres coming out, and I think a lot of the estimates coming out are in line. You know, with the anywhere from the 76 to 79 million acres of beans in this area, a lot of the large farmers are going more beans than corn. I think most of the, you know, the 2,000 acre farmers or below are going to stick with the rotation for the most part, like on the 50-50 rotation. But you know, I am nervous about the report coming up. I think corn and beans, you know, getting half sold before the report is probably not a bad decision.
Thanks much, Matt.
No problem.
That's Matt Kunisch of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. I'll be back in 2 minutes with a look at agricultural weather.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A University of Illinois law professor says judges have to decide whether legal challenges filed by more than a dozen attorneys general regarding health care reform can be mounted right now. Lawrence Solem says much of the controversy is centered around whether Congress is allowed to regulate people for not doing something, in this case, purchasing insurance. Solem says that's a question Supreme Court justices have never had to answer, but he says opponents may have to wait until 2014. That's when the requirement kicks in. Solem says the high court's ruling may come down to whether the fine is considered a penalty or a tax. He says justices have given Congress broader powers to enact taxes. Illinois' House has approved $50 million in tax breaks meant to help small businesses create jobs. The tax break was proposed by Democratic Governor Pat Quinn. His Republican opponent Bill Brady supports a similar plan. Legislation applies to businesses with up to 50 employees. If a small business hires a new worker in the upcoming fiscal year, it can get a tax credit of $2,500. The measure passed unanimously today and moves on to the Senate. The April 13th City of Champaign Township meeting will include a proposal for an advisory referendum asking city residents whether they want a Citizens Police Review Board. Wayne Williams submitted the agenda item. He says there's never been a reliable poll to gauge the support for the plan. Williams says he's backed it long before last October's shooting of teen Kawan Carrington following a struggle with city police. Champaign City Council members last voted down the proposal on a 5-4 vote 3 years ago. Urbana and Danville both have police review boards. Public health officials are warning about possible dangers with contaminated raw milk distributed from an Indiana dairy. An outbreak of a bacterial illness in southern Michigan has been linked with drinking raw milk from the same Middlebury, Indiana dairy. A farm cooperative in Michigan received milk from that dairy and delivered it to locations in Chicago, Des Plaines, Downers Grove, and Elgin. The voter registration deadline is nearing for those who want to cast ballots in Indiana's May 4th primary. Voters must submit registration forms to their county election offices by the April 5th deadline. That includes new voters and those who have moved or changed their names. Election officials say early voting will also begin April 5th. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, I guess some good news for producers. The floods are beginning to recede.
They are indeed. We've reached our crest in the past week across the upper parts of the Midwest, even parts of Iowa. Now working the floodwaters downstream and already seeing some nice improvement occurring across some of the farmland across the region. Of course, we've got this ridge of high pressure that's being advertised to build up as we go through next week. And if that ends up verifying as suggested, we're going to see temperatures well above average at about the time the floodwaters are moving out of the region completely. And that means we're going to see the soil firm up a little bit. And who knows, we may even see some planting done in some parts of the country by the time we get to the end of next week or into the following weekend.
And maybe the eastern Corn Belt will miss some weather patterns coming across?
That is a strong possibility. Terribly sorry there. It looks as though the ridge of high pressure will be working its way from west to east across the production region, starting the plains early in the week and reaching into the eastern parts of the country late next week. And it looks like the ridge will be strong enough that the first wave of rain that comes across the middle of the country on the back side of this high pressure ridge will actually weaken quite a bit as it moves through the ridge, and we'll end up with just a limited amount of rain, as you say, in the eastern Midwest, the Delta, and the southeastern states. So there could be a little bit of an extended period of time here for some field work to take place. I don't want to make it sound just too wonderful, because I think there's a chance that we may end up seeing the rains come on a little bit quicker than what's being suggested in the model data this morning, but nevertheless, we'll see at least a good opportunity for well-drained fields, at least, to be worked a little bit by the time we get to the end of next week.
And speaking of planting, I think things are really heating up in the Delta now.
They are. In fact, we've seen good progress in the southern half of the Delta and also across the south half of Texas, a fair amount of corn and sorghum being produced or planted down that way. The lower Delta has seen a lot of work recently, and the southeast has kind of limped along a little bit. As we go through this next 5 days, we've got two storm systems that will interfere with field work, taking us through the first part of next week, at least through Monday. And then after that, we'll be done with the precipitation for a little while. And I probably see 70 and 80-degree highs reaching fairly far up into the central plains and throughout all the Delta, and eventually in the southeastern states. And that will give us some accelerated drying rates, and that's why I think we'll probably see some field work take place on an accelerated basis in the Delta in the southeast, and starting some field work in parts of the lower Midwest, perhaps in a week or 10 days.
And very quickly, South America.
It It looks like the situation in Argentina looks great. There's not much precipitation in their pipeline for the next full week, and then in the second week of the two-week outlook, there'll be some scattered showers and thunderstorms, keeping conditions just about ideal for late double-crop beans. And Brazil gets a regular occurrence of scattered showers and thunderstorms, keeping the harvest pace a little slow, but progress will be made.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can listen to all of our agricultural broadcasts on the web. Go to willag.org. This is Dave Dickey.